When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's good.
Good. Well, we've got something new to talk about. And there's a lot going on over the last week, which is weird. But one of the things we're going to focus on today is the 12-inch MacBook resurrection, or is this an entirely new? Because I see it kind of both ways. I feel like people want this to be a like new 12-inch MacBook kind of being resurrected from the dead, but it's also not going to be 12 inches, potentially could be 13. Anyways, for those that are confused, Apple is apparently set to release a new low-cost MacBook that will be running off the A18 chip, Pro chip, that is in the iPhone 16 Pro and Pro Max that we currently have right now. So this is the first time that's ever been done. Technically, there was the Mac Mini that ran the A12Z, right, for the developer
kit.
That's
true. But that was an iPad chip, not an iPhone chip.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like a mobile chip. Yeah. And it was an A-series chip, and that's never really happened. And it wasn't even for consumer, you know, like purchase. It was just something that developers used to transition from Intel and then into Apple Silicon. So my first question to you, Hartley, do you think this is a resurrection of the 12-inch MacBook or kind of like a hybrid, something different? And what are your overall thoughts?
I don't see any 12-inch MacBook in this rumor, unfortunately.
Okay.
I wish I did, but I just don't see any connotations, because the 12-inch MacBook was a really expensive product. Mm-hmm. It was not affordable in the slightest. It was also not powerful. It used an Intel chip. It had the butterfly keyboard, and it had a considerably smaller display than is now rumored from this particular device. So I don't see a lot of parallels. I think people are just very hopeful that another MacBook means that this is the 12-inch MacBook, but I think that will be lead to a little bit of disappointment, because I don't think there is really any 12-inch MacBook blood in this particular rumored device.
That's me. I'm the disappointed one. Well, okay. So let's kind of get into the crux of what we're expecting here. So we'll start with the main headline, which is that this is going to be running off an A18 Pro chip, which it might be a little limited. I mean, what, the A18 has a 6-core CPU, 6-core GPU, 16-core neural engine. So, I mean, that's probably fine for the type of people that are going to be buying this. But it's also only restricted to 8 gigs of RAM, unless Apple can figure out some way to beef that up. But I'm guessing they're just kind of repurposing these chips, right? So they're not going to be making any changes to it.
So that is an interesting peculiarity, in particular when it comes to memory, because Apple made quite an unusual move, and certainly an unexpected move, to move the entire Mac lineup up to a minimum of 16. And that is after years of 8 gigabytes being the standard. Even existing models that were already on shelves were bumped up to 16. So for Apple to now reintroduce an 8-gig MacBook would be odd. But considering that this is supposed to be a low-cost machine, I think it's understandable. I think the one machine we should really be comparing this to, in fact, is actually the Walmart M1 MacBook Air. So Apple, in collaboration with Walmart last year, briefly reintroduced the M1 MacBook Air, which has that older design. So it has no MagSafe. It's got that wedge tapered shape design, and it's got the square screen. So it's not a liquid retina display. Right. And that was on sale for, I believe, $799.
When it first launched or right now?
I don't know what it is, if Walmart's still offering that.
They are. It's $649 right now.
$649. So that's really inexpensive. And yeah. I imagine that basically this is that device that Apple wants a MacBook at around, my bet would be $700, which would not really compete with the MacBook Air as it stands, which starts at $999, right, and education at $899. It would still undercut both of those. But there would be some compromises for that. But I think it would be a compromise that a lot of people would be very happy to make.
I completely agree. I mean, how often have we talked about the MacBook Air being like the perfect laptop for the everyday person? I feel like, and I'm not going to say that this new one, given what we know about it, would be the perfect laptop for everyone, but I still think it can draw like 30% of those people that just need something to get online, you know, do some basic web stuff, and just have a laptop when they need a laptop to do laptop things. But it's not their main workhorse, you know, just something a little bit better than their phone. Correct?
I agree. And there are plenty of people who just need a Mac, and maybe are more comfortable with the idea of an actual laptop, but can't stretch to more than maybe $700. Well, right now, those people do have an option in that they can get this M1 model from Walmart. But certainly for a global market, you're looking at older models here. I mean, that is a model that is now nearly 5 years old and is lacking in a lot of ways. So to offer what would be pretty much the most affordable MacBook ever, I think that the lineup is ready for it. I don't think that this would have been possible in the Intel era, because the A18 Pro is still a great chip. Yes, it will have some drawbacks. Yes, it will be 40% less powerful than the M4 MacBook Air. But, I mean, that will still be drastically better than an M1 chip or an M2 chip.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of looking at in that area, right? Just for performance. And that's, again, that's going to be fine for most people. And if you can get a Mac for $650, I have people ask me constantly, like, I just want a cheap Mac. What's the cheapest one I can get? And I'm like, new? You're looking at, you know, $999, $899 if you have a discount code for being a student or something. But you can probably get older ones, used ones, for that $600 mark. And people are more inclined, honestly, to go do that. Personally, I would just go for something newer just to be done with it and not have to worry about it later on. But if you can get a new machine that might be running older hardware but is still going to get service with updates and, you know, hasn't been used and doesn't have that wear and tear, like, highly recommend this for a lot of people out there. Again, not everyone. I'm wondering what the port situation is going to be like. If it is anything like the 12-inch MacBook, that only had one USB-C port. Now, we already know that the it's not going to support Thunderbolt, correct?
So the A18 Pro does not have any Thunderbolt controllers because there is no Thunderbolt port on the iPhone 16 Pro. It's just USB 3.1. So that is what you would get on this MacBook, which, again, for this audience, is fine. I mean, what are the chances that they are going to plug anything into that machine that is more demanding than that? This is very similar to the iPad Air and the iPad Pro. The iPad Pro supports Thunderbolt. The iPad Air doesn't.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Do you think Apple will do MagSafe and one USB-C additional port, or just USB-C, not even any MagSafe?
I can see that this device probably will have two USB-C ports and no MagSafe. And that is simply because if this device has the design of the MacBook Air, it will cannibalize MacBook Air sales. And I think that that hardware is still going to be too expensive to bring that all down with the nice braided MagSafe cable, with the liquid retina display, and with all of the improvements that were made in that, particularly in the thin enclosure. I can't see Apple bringing that down because it would cannibalize sales of the MacBook Air. So instead, I would say, well, let's look at what Apple has done in the past with low-cost products. Take something like the iPhone 16e, for example. The iPhone 16e is an iPhone 14, but with frosted glass and a newer chip. What I imagine they will do is take the chassis and the parts from the M1 MacBook Air, and that MacBook Air design is really well established. That was on sale since 2017. There's plenty of factories that are very well versed in producing the components for that machine at a low cost. And I imagine that is what we will get. We will get that design in fun colors with the iPhone chip. It will still be a 13-inch display. But it will be clearly differentiated. It will clearly feel older. And I think that's probably what it needs.
Like no notch, probably.
Yeah, because it will have that same display panel we used to from 2017.
You think?
Well, if it's going to reuse components, I can't see it.
We're going
using...
back that far?
But it's because that MacBook Air design was introduced in 2017, and then it lasted through 18, 19, and then the last release of that design was the M1 model in November 2020. So,
I see what you mean. I was just thinking 2020 was the last one, the new one, but it's been around for a while.
So that design lingered. So I can see that design being used again. Maybe it won't be. Another option is that maybe they take the design of the something like the entry-level MacBook Pro, which is thicker, and maybe they don't have the notch. They have thicker bezels, but it uses a larger enclosure like that.
Yeah.
That's maybe a possibility, but I find that more unlikely because, again, it's all more engineering and more tooling when they have this casing that they designed years ago that's very cheap for them to manufacture. And it would look quite fresh in some new colors. So Ming-Chi Kuo, who came out with the first report about this machine, specifically mentioned some colors. He said it would come in silver, blue, pink, and yellow.
Here we go.
These sound like the
colors. Stretched out. It's color time, baby. We need like a sound bed for this. Like, welcome back to MacRumors Show. Talk about colors.
It's standard practice at this point.
It is. It is. All right, go on. Sorry.
So I think that fun colors sound like they're in for this device. And again, that's a differentiator because if you have all these MacBooks laid out on a table in an Apple store, you've got the low-cost MacBook in its fun colors with its sort of sharper edges and squared design. But then you can move up to the MacBook Air, which has these sorts of more pastel, subtler, metallic finishes with this much thinner, smoother design. And I think that would be really well differentiated.
I agree. Let's go back to the colors here. MacBooks. it's not like unusual for there to be some color. We just saw the sky blue. There's been midnight, but there's nothing. We've had rose gold and then like a variation of gold. I would say rose gold is probably the one that I can remember that has like the most pop, right?
Probably, yeah.
Was it the 12 or no, even the air rose gold was really, that was pretty vibrant, but like, I don't know. I can't recall anything being yellow or pink. Like, I guess the rose gold's probably pink, but this is going to be different. Like, are we going to see some bright, vibrant? Remember that rumor about the MacBook? Was it the MacBook Air that was going to have these colors and it was going to be the white bezel? Just bring that back. That looks so good. We were talking about that for so long and then it didn't happen and I was crushed.
I think that would really fit the character of these machines really well. They'll be widely used in education. A lot of students will buy them and fun colors would be in character with this device because it's not a premium offering. So you shouldn't be expecting those darker, premium, more luxurious finishes. Certainly there's no dark color option here, according to Ming-Chi Kuo.
I think Apple should do like the iMac from back in the 90s. Transparent look, those types of colors, put it on all these MacBooks. Instant hit with younger kids in school, like anyone that just wants a fun MacBook and just needs a Mac, like you said. Like, can you imagine that would sell a ton? I don't know that silver, blue, pink, and yellow really like do anything for me right now. I need to see them, but they're not screaming fun.
I imagine that they will probably be similar to the iPad 11. So the iPad 11, I mean, what colors does that come in? That does come in, I believe, silver,
blue, pink, and yellow.
Yeah. Probably will look exactly like that.
There might be a purple and green one thrown in there somewhere, but yeah, I mean, but those colors are so like muted and boring. Like,
I don't know. On the entry level iPad, they're pretty bright.
On the entry level iPad? Yeah. Let me take a look at this. So iPad 11. The pink. Okay. The pink on the iPad 11, I do like. That's pretty nice. The blue, I am over this blue, man. I gotta be completely honest with you. I need something better than this. This blue's doing nothing for me. I think it's because I've just seen it too much. The silver's, you know, silver, classic, timeless. The yellow, yeah. I mean, these are legitimately, you're right. These are exactly the same colors. Blue, pink, yellow, and silver. So, yeah, I guess the pink and yellow do add some pop. That'll be new and exciting and interesting because we've never really seen MacBooks or any Macs besides the iMac, I guess, come in that type of color. So, yeah, that'll be interesting.
I agree. I think it's a really unusual sort of device, but I think this is where we've been heading for a long time. Apple's moving to expand all of its product lineups. And we've talked about before about how Apple should discontinue some iPad models to clean things up. There's no sign of it doing that. In fact, Everything, it just seems to be growing. I mean, we're adding a foldable iPhone next year. Maybe they'll add a couple foldable iPhones in the long term with different form factors. We're expecting the foldable notebook in the long term, probably a foldable iPad eventually. This week, we've had some news about the Vision product line, and there are 7 products in the works there. So it looks like we're going almost back to early 90s Apple, where there are just loads of products available.
Yeah.
And now MacBook with an iPhone chip.
So what do you think this is going to be called? It's not going to be called MacBook with an iPhone chip. What do you think they're going to call this?
I imagine it will just be called MacBook.
MacBook?
Yeah. In the Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Same way that iPad is just iPad. The entry-level iPad is the iPad. So you'll have the entry-level MacBook that's the MacBook, because it will be thicker than a MacBook Air. And also, Apple has used that MacBook name over the years. It wasn't just for the 12-inch MacBook that was MacBook.
Right.
There was also a MacBook with a plastic body,
I believe,
in like 2006.
2007, well, yeah, right around there. I got mine in 2007 when I went to college. There was a black and white one, and they were absolutely amazing. I loved those. I wish I still had it.
So I imagine that this will be the same as the iPad, where you have an iPad Pro, and an iPad Air. So MacBook, MacBook Pro, and MacBook Air.
Oh, you got me reminiscing nostalgia. Now I kind of want Apple to just make it like that again. Make it look old like that. They were like square. They were very much like a MacBook Pro design, like in the ahead of its time kind of looking thing. And they were very thick, so this is probably not what Apple's going to do. But I loved that plastic. It was like a matte finish on it. It was good. You never got to experience that, Hartley. I feel bad.
I remember the plastic MacBooks.
Yeah, they were great. They were really good.
I remember the glossy. I'll let you finish that thought.
I said I threw up on mine, and it damaged the display somehow. I don't know if those two things were related, but I got really drunk, threw up. I might have done something else to it. I don't know. But the next day I woke up and opened up my MacBook and I was like, ew. And then I turned it on. There was a huge dead spot in the display. So apologize for anyone that is eating and currently heard that. But
I don't know if you can be trusted with MacBooks after this revelation.
This is why I just don't drink that much anymore. Because, you know, that was college. I was letting out some.
Apple devices get hurt when you drink.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But that's it. No people. I'm not an angry person. Just dumb. I was also 18 years old, so give me a break. But anyways, yes, I enjoyed that form factor for sure.
I feel like there is something to be said for that period when Apple was experimenting a lot with plastic. I think there are a lot of great plastic Macs. We've mentioned the iMacs. Yeah. I mean, then there's also the... even just the Mac towers that would have sort of wild, clear plastic, or the cube as well with its use of glass. There's
Use
loads
those
of things
school.
Like this.
Yeah, those were great. Even though, I mean, we talk about it a million times, the iPhone 5C, like we loved that. And I think someone literally said, thank God you guys are not in charge of Apple. I do not want to go back to plastic iPhones. And I'm like, you know what? You just don't know.
I'll stand by the iPhone 5C. Yeah, I don't care. I think the iPhone 5C had the best in-hand feel of any iPhone ever created.
Agreed.
It was incredibly light, and the kind of soap bar shape, but with a flat front, gave you the perfect amount of grip and durability. It felt great. It was absolutely perfect.
I agree.
It's just an iPhone that no one really saw any reason to buy. I think that if they had reserved that plastic design for, let's say they never did a plastic iPhone, but the first time they did it was with the iPhone 16e, I think people would love it on that hardware.
And they put a bunch of the fun colors, because that was another thing. And you could then they make those cases specially for it too.
Yeah, the cases with all the holes that were cut out.
Yeah,
so you could see the color through, and you could buy complementary cases.
It
was really unique.
It was so good. My mother-in-law had one, and every time I like had to help her out with her phone or something, I was picking it up, and I'm like, this is a good phone. This feels good. It's a shame. She used that thing into the ground, too.
It was nice. It's a shame Apple didn't sell very many of them, or maybe they would have continued.
You know,
I guess it's just because a lot of people have one iPhone in general, unless you know, you have a work phone or something like that. And because you have just one, on the whole, you probably want a premium feeling thing. And most people would prefer to have like a nice cold to the touch metal, like frosted glass,
I'm starting to think Apple should just make an iPhone that's just call it the iPhone, like we've talked about, and just make one in two sizes, and it's just the Pro and the Pro Max. Nobody wants the other stuff anyways. They've been trying. Even if you say, oh, people buy the 16 standard, like, yeah, but not as many, that they all want Pro or Pro Max. So just do one at this point. Just cut it all out and just do the one and offer two sizes, and we're done. And then a foldable, because that's a completely different thing.
It's an interesting idea.
We talk about this like, oh, people are going to want this, and then they don't want it.
I don't know. I think that Apple must sell enough non-Pro iPhones to justify continuing to make them. I mean, Apple is effectively the first quote-unquote Pro iPhone was the iPhone 10 in 2017, which existed above the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus. And from that point on, the lineup was split in a way that it pretty much still is today. Mm-hmm. In all that time, Apple has just continued to do that. They haven't decided to revert. And if anything, they just introduced more models like the iPhone 16e.
Okay, I will counter that by saying the only thing that has remained constant since they've done this and split it with standard and Pro, the standard model, the Pro Max, and the Pro. Those are the only three that have remained constant, because you've had a mini, you've now have a Plus. Now that's going to be changed into the Air. So Apple can't seem to get that second standard right, which tells me that 50% of the standard line is a failure. And so if 50% of your 50% iPhone split is not working out, how much is the 16 really doing in comparison? It's obviously doing more than the other one, so they're keeping it around. And it's the standard iPhone, so it's probably never going to go anywhere. But I'm willing to bet that if they just removed the standard completely, I don't see why people would stop buying an iPhone. They would just be getting a Pro model. Everyone would have a Pro model, and that's just how what it is, you know?
I think that there's two points on that. The first is that considering that each iPhone is at least $100 apart, if you're buying it outright, $100 is quite a lot of difference. So to be able to access an iPhone at $599 with the iPhone 16e, that's a big difference to...
I was just going to say, in this whole thing, before you keep going, I don't think you should remove the 16e, though. I think that's fine. I'm just talking about the standard iPhones.
Like, okay, so that takes me to my second point, which is this is why the iPhone 17 Air will be so interesting.
Yes.
Because this is trying to lure people away from those Pro models. It's trying to work out what that market is of people that don't buy a Pro iPhone. And I actually agree with Apple that they probably should be offering a non-Pro iPhone. But I think that it has been a half-hearted effort for the last, pretty much since the lineup was split. And I think based on rumors, the 17 Air is the closest they've gotten to a different vision. The MacBook Air and MacBook Pro work really well. And if you buy a MacBook Air, you don't feel undersold. You actually feel like it has its own advantages, because it's so nimble and light. And you take a look at that 16-inch MacBook Pro and you think, I'm so glad I don't have to lug this thing around. And I've got my neat little MacBook Air. And I think people don't feel like it's an inferior experience. But with iPhones and the standard iPhone, it does feel like a little bit of an inferior experience. And why don't I just get a Pro?
It's not. That's the thing. Like, to people, it's not. It's really not that much of a difference besides a couple of things. But yes, you know, keep going. You're right.
So I agree. There's actually very little difference, but people feel more inclined to sort of signal the fact that they've got a pro model with the triple camera setup and slightly more premium color options. People like this kind of thing. And phones are more of a status symbol than computers. Lots of sort of weird things drive the market dynamics of smartphones. So the Air will be very, very interesting. I think it will be quite popular, actually. And I think that it will sell way more than the Plus, without question.
Cool. I needed you to keep going because there was a train going by. So I appreciate you still continuing on that. And I agree with you 100%. I think, listen, I know I said that they should just do one. That's like a business standpoint. I personally want as many options as possible so that there's something for everyone. But that second standard model has just been kind of a revolving door over the last few years. So I am kind of happy that it does give Apple a chance to experiment and mess around. And so that's what we're getting with the iPhone 17 Air. And now I like that this is, you know, let's tie it back to the MacBook. I like that this is kind of leading into other explorations. And now that Apple can like check out and see, oh, what would a, you know, lesser version of a MacBook Air be like? How many people would want that? So I'm interested. I don't know how much they're going to sell of this new MacBook.
They're hoping it'll boost MacBook sales by something like 25%.
That's a lot.
So they think it's going to be pretty popular next year.
Yeah.
So by it's supposed way, to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should talk about when it's going to come out. So you're reading my mind.
It's supposed to go into mass production in the fourth quarter of this year or early in the first quarter of next year, which would suggest that we could be looking at probably about a March announcement. I would anticipate it certainly is going to be in that window, in that first wave of products that Apple tends to unveil in the year. It seems pretty well nailed down for that. And also, references to this MacBook have been spotted in Apple's code. Like, this is not a nebulous product that is, maybe Apple will one day do a low-cost MacBook with an iPhone chip. This has become suddenly quite a concrete rumor. And I'm fairly sure we are going to see this device early next year. And I think it will be a really important device for Apple because it's going to open up a whole new market. It is going to cannibalize the iPad a little bit because if you were an iPad Air customer and you're thinking, oh, I'll get this keyboard as well to go along with it. Oh, I could just get a MacBook. But then it depends what kind of user you are because some people like the modular nature of the iPad. They want to just run apps full screen. They want to be able to travel with it and take it off the keyboard. Maybe they want to use the Apple Pencil. There are people like that that very clearly know they are an iPad Air customer. And there are other people that have been using a Chromebook for 10 years. They don't have an iPad. They're unfamiliar with the iPad. They don't even want a touch screen. They just want a proper traditional computer, but they want a low price, and this would enable them to do that.
I guess this would make Apple kind of make a touchscreen Mac, but are you surprised that there hasn't been some sort of, like, you know, those yoga books that have been so like popular that like full, are you surprised since the introduction of the Apple Pencil there hasn't been a MacBook that can completely fold up and then you can write on it?
I'm not surprised that they haven't done it, but they are going to do it next year.
You think?
At least in terms of a touchscreen MacBook. And I think that certain elements of the form factor will have to change on account of that. Certainly, you're going to need a much sturdier hinge. You're going to need different display coatings. And Apple's been moving in this direction. I mean, Apple moved to the design of macOS Big Sur, all of the icons in macOS started to get quite big and spaced apart as though they were meant for touch. And most recently with the announcement of macOS 26, that's the case more now than ever. So everything has sort of visually been slowly moving in that direction. Now, I think it's kind of ridiculous for Apple to be offering a touchscreen MacBook when for years it has said, we'll never do that. And even this year they've been saying, oh, well, we don't want to create a spork. We think the iPad's a different product to the Mac. Well, how can you justify that in the same way when you're literally offering a touchscreen Mac on your flagship MacBook?
Now there's no reason to buy it. Now I would say there would be no reason to buy a MacBook or an iPad, really. If you can, especially if it can fully fold up and kind of become a iPad form factor for the most part, and you can get that keyboard out of the way, then you're really cannibalizing the iPad. And that's a shame because we just got everything that we kind of wanted to make the iPad be a little more Mac-like. Now you're just kind of like, you're blurring the lines again, you know?
They are blurring the lines. And I think long-term, the lines are going to get more blurred. But I think that what remains true is that some people are just Mac people and some people are just iPad people. You and sure. I are Mac people, so we find it hard to imagine moving our entire workflows over to an iPad, even though now, realistically, we probably are 95% of the way there. It just is slightly more inconvenient than using a Mac. But there are plenty of people who just want to be able to check some emails, do some basic browsing, and maybe some online shopping, and they want to watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Those people actually like having a full screen thing with no windowing at all. Those people like having something that they can hold in their hand and touch and use as an e-reader. Those things specifically appeal on the iPad. And those people actually don't want a Mac. But having said that, I do think long-term, looking 10 years into the future here, the Mac and the iPad are converging. I think that years ago, there was this concern of, oh, well, is the Mac and the iPad becoming the same product? And it was kind of unfounded. It's because the Mac wasn't getting a lot of love. But I think now it's true. And it's not true because of iPadOS 26. It's true because of foldables. Because Apple is working on this foldable notebook. It's supposed to have like a 24-inch display. There was news this week that Apple paused its work on a foldable iPad Pro, but it's only paused. That machine is still going to come at some point. And at the point where you've got huge foldable iPads and foldable MacBooks and everything has a touch screen and everything has this windowing system, and we move forward, like if these are the iterations that Apple made with iPadOS 26, what about when we're on iPadOS 36 and we've got all of these huge screen foldables? I think that is just, they're going to, it's not that they all converge, but it will be the case that you'll look at this product lineup of Macs and iPads, and you'll be able to pick from one of like 15 different weird form factors about what works for you.
Hey, you know what? Just having more choices, I guess people prefer that. So there's going to be something for everyone. And it'll be exciting to see this evolution, both in software and in hardware. Like, hopefully we're still doing this in 10 years. And we can see this and write about it. And maybe we're still talking about it, me and you, on this podcast in 10 years. That would be crazy.
I'd like to think so.
So old. But go ahead. And
the other consideration, actually, that I just got thinking about was Vision's also driving this, because Vision productivity is so important to Vision. So whatever this like multitasking experience on the Mac is, multitasking experience on the iPad, differences between the iPad and the Mac and ways in which they're the same and ways in which they're different, all of this still applies to Vision. Too, because Vision has the same problems it needs to work through. So it's going to get quite interesting.
The future is exciting. But in the near future, we're expecting this low-cost MacBook. That's pretty much everything we know on it right now. I expect that we're going to hear a lot more in the coming months as it starts to ramp up and then officially go into production. But I'd love to hear from all of you guys. Let us know in the comments, emails, all of that stuff. What you guys think about this, and if you're someone that would buy this, or what your current MacBook of choice would be instead. So yeah, let us know in the comments, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.